You're listening to Hunter Valley Today with Darren Cattruppi. Last week, we brought you stories throughout the week from people affected by the Singleton Bypass Project, in particular property owners, who are being lowballed by the state government through Transport for New South Wales on not agreeing to pay them anywhere near what the valuation of their properties has come back as. So that's in process. Well, it's not actually just property owners who are, you know, farming their land or, you know, living on it, or a combination of both. Even our council, Singleton Council, is currently, I would term, a victim of this very harsh, impersonal and not very fair process. To find out more, the General Manager of Singleton Council, Jason Lenane, joins me. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good, mate. Had a great but busy weekend. So, yeah, all sort of refreshed and ready to go for another week. And look, this is a saga that goes on. So we've talked about, as I said, the various landowners, but one of them is actually Singleton Council. And the waterworks, which has been there for God knows how long, that is also part of the land that the New South Wales government want to use for the bypass. You've been negotiating with the state government. What sort of offers have they been giving you? Have they been offering you the amount of money that that land is actually worth?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Darren. It's, there's a whole range of impacts and affectation with the bypass. I must start by saying Council's very supportive of the bypass. We think it's a central piece of infrastructure. But for us as an organisation, on behalf of our community, yeah, there's a major impact. As you rightly point out, our depot for our water and sewer staff down there on Waterworks Lane, been there for many, many, many decades. It's a fit-for-purpose depot. It's a little bit old, it's a little bit ugly, but it's fit-for-purpose. And the bypass is going to go pretty much straight through it, which means it's not going to be able to stay where it is, which then not logically means we need to build a new one. So our claim is that, guys, we had no plans to build a new Waterworks water and sewer depot. We didn't need to build a new water and sewer depot. We only have to do it because of the impact of the bypass. We think it's only fair on behalf of the ratepayers, because the ratepayers don't have to foot the bill. We think it's only fair that we get compensation that's equivalent.
What sort of offer have they made compared to what you need to build a new facility?
It'd be inappropriate for me to give actual details at this point in time, because we are still in those commercial negotiations. But it'd be very fair to say there's a significant difference between what the offer currently looks like and what we've estimated will cost to build a new water and sewer depot.
Is it true they've been saying, well, look, you know, it's old, so we're not going to pay you for it, or something along those lines?
Yeah, there's some methodology which we're not in agreement on. So some factors of consideration that we just don't see their logic. One of those is that it is an old depot and therefore it's depreciated over time. Now, that's true. There's no doubt about that. You only got to look at it to know that it's not brand new. It's not straight off the shelves. But we could come back to the point that it's fit for purpose. It meets our operational needs. We didn't have any plans to replace it. We haven't got any budget to replace it. And it's an absolute essential service. All the things we do, there's not many things that are more important than provisioning our water and sewer services. So it's not a negotiable, oh, we might not replace it. We have to replace it. We have to replace it as soon as possible, or before they actually go through the site and start constructing the bypass.
And the bypass construction is meant to start in months. So if you don't have land identified, plans drawn up, ready to build a new facility, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's the logistics we're working through at the moment. We have part of our water and sewer operations working out of the old Sutton Ford site there on John Street. But that only caters for a small part of what we require from the site. So we still have all our trucks and all our main machine and all our big plants still down there in Waterworks Lane. So if we have to move out of there all of a sudden, and in the absence of having a new depot, which will take at least 18 to 24 months to build, even if we had the money, we'll have to go and find somewhere else to lease in the interim period.
What sort of money is needed to build a replacement facility? Because it is going to come to that, isn't it?
Oh, well, no, I think logic says that, yes, mate. We're probably talking somewhere between $6 to $10 million, I'm guessing. And that's a big. I know it's a big variation because we haven't been through the QS process yet or gone to tender or anything.
Yeah,
and with the escalation we're seeing across the board with capital projects, you know, so there's a bit of leeway. But we're talking many millions of dollars.
And that time frame, which is what you really can't afford, never alone the actual money. So where is it at in the process? Has it been gazetted and referred to the Valuer General yet, or are you still to get to that stage?
I think that's the next stage in the process. We've submitted our claim. We've been having many conversations with the guys from Transport for New South Wales about this matter. We've submitted our claim. It's now part of that legal process.
Well, I'm hearing from some of the property owners nearby that that have already gone to the Valuer General, been referred there. It's come back with an even lower valuation than what the lowball offer was for Transport from New South Wales.
Yeah, myself and the mayor and former deputy mayor's council, Jared, is now back on council. We met with the residents probably 6 or 8 weeks ago, and those who are being impacted by these matters, and there's some really personal issues there for them, and it's really hard not to have a really sympathetic ear.
Mm. Yeah, it's certainly not a get-rich scheme, as many people in the community seem to think. They're just after, you know, what we all expect if we were selling our homes, that we expect we would get whatever the market value is. And ultimately, you know, competition determines that. So this takes competition out of it. So it should be fair and equal.
And you're right. There is a broader sort of theory in the community that, and people are affected by these compulsory acquisitions, that they do really well out of it. It's just not the case. And I think helping the broader community understand that's a really important part as we move forward as well.
So have you raised this with Dave Lazell to see if he can assist in any way with the situation with council at least?
Yeah, so we've raised our matter. We've raised the matter on behalf of the other residents with Dave and the minister, and also the senior staff of Transport for New South Wales. So hopefully as we move through the process, we can see, hopefully get some better outcomes, not only for us as an organisation. And this is a funny thing to say, it's probably easier for us as an organisation, it's a personal impact for individuals. Mm. But having said that, it's the ratepayers in our situation, it's the ratepayers who have to wear the bill.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I'm not overly confident based on what I've seen, heard and read so far with that review the Upper House Committee handed down about a week and a half ago. But fingers crossed that this all gets worked out to the satisfaction of all parties. But, yeah, time will tell, I suppose. Jason, thank you very much for joining us on Hunter Valley today, as usual.
Thanks, Darren. Much appreciate your time.
That's Jason Lenane, Singleton Council General Manager on Hunter Valley Today on 981 2NM.